Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week, we've got William Miller.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
I'm doing good to see you actually here on time for once, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we've got Justin Fick.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Doing good. And, you know, not so much news this week. Kind of a light week in news. No thoughts. Just
yes,
silence.
It is.
Anyway, we got to get into it. This is your best damn podcast ever for March 2nd, 2011. All right, guys, we got a couple of news stories for you, though, this week. Just Vic, why don't you kick us off?
All right, so kicking us off, the FTC is investigating mobile microtransactions. So you guys have probably seen all these games that sort of taken the industry by storm now. All the social games and Farmville, and on the iPhone you have games like We Rule by Engie Moco. Smurfs Village is big right now. So the FTC has decided to investigate the mobile microtransactions inside these games. So if you're not familiar with them,
they are the
Federal Trade Commission, I think.
All
right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Federal Trade Commission. I had to look that up really quick because I'm an idiot. I was like, they're the people you order flowers from? No, that's FTD. No, it's just sort of like antitrust, like, I don't know, just protecting, protecting consumers from doing stupid shit.
You mean like spending thousands upon thousands of dollars on Farmville bucks or whatever?
Yeah, like for instance, spending $1,000 on Smurf berries because you didn't, because the app wasn't, it didn't.
Dude, is Smurf that like big of an IP these days? I guess. Wait,
apparently so. It's doing really well.
Didn't they have has that already come out? I remember seeing a trailer for a Smurfs movie at some point. Did that come out yet? I guess I'm out of the loop. Not on the Smurfs Universe web blog.
I thought there was like some sort of live action thing coming out, actually. Actually, believe it or not, I think Black Nerd Comedy, Andre Meadows, was trying to get himself in that movie. Like, no, I'm serious. Like, he was actually petitioning to get in the Smurfs movie. I do not know if he was successful.
God,
or not.
We got to get him back on the show for a State of the Union.
We do.
Yeah, so the Smurfs game is a good example. Like, I remember reading news a little while ago where, like, some kid spent, like, $1,000 on daddy's credit card on that game.
Right.
Is this what they're investigating, or are they investigating, like, should we tax this? What's the motivation?
It's more consumer protection. So, there is...
Yeah, because, I mean, I think taxes would apply anyway, right? I mean,
would apply if you could get money out, not if and can't get it out, then they don't apply.
I thought that let's say I live in Iowa and Smurfs MMO or whatever the fuck it is based in Iowa, that I am taxed for that transaction. But if I don't live in Iowa, I don't have to pay that.
Yeah, that I'm not sure about, and that's not the, it's also not the aim of this. This is more just like making sure people are protected and making sure that that they know what they're getting into. So, like any of us, that we know that when we go into these in-app purchases, we know this costs a dollar. But you hand it to your four-year-old kid, they don't know what the fuck's going on. So, let's see. There was, it's headed by representative. His name is Ed Markey. And he is, a letter to him and the FTC chairman, whose name is John Leibowitz, saying that these could be problematic, as it says here, because consumers don't fully understand what's going on when you do this.
Just for the record, you said his name was John Leibowitz, the guy? That doesn't sound like a guy looking out for my best interest as a consumer. Mr. Leibowitz here, at your service.
Yeah. Mr. Leibowitz, sir, looking out for Mr. Leibowitz.
Right. Are there going to be investigations and complaints filed against companies like Zanger, or is that still way off?
What will result out of this is that there might be some sort of regulations or, warnings or something, just like something that will more clearly just sort of convey what these games are charging you for. you know, the letter said that, you know, or the response to it said that the, you know, they echoed the concern that, you know, that consumers, children especially, don't understand what they're getting into when they buy their Smurf berries. Like, you know, like, for instance, think about going back to your Final Fantasy tapes when you're a kid or something, and you're buying your sword for you know, a certain amount of money. If that said $99, yeah, and you're playing Final Fantasy, yeah, you were assuming it was in-game money.
Yeah,
it was gold back in the day. So
no, that means.
I remember when I got to a college and I got all these credit card offers, and I was like, "Man, I'm about to be rich, y'all." And luckily, somebody told me, "No, Blake, that's not you getting rich." And I didn't go into massive debt like so many other folks do at that age. And I feel like this is sort of the same thing of like, oh, kids have credit cards now when they're younger. They have access to these games. Suddenly, a little Timmy has accrued $25,000 in debt to Square Enix Holdings LLC.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, certain things that I think people are taking issue on are, for instance, inside the games, a lot of these games offer some giant package. That sounds really dirty, but for instance, you go into Smurf Village and you can buy some Smurf berries for $1.
You could buy a giant Smurf package.
Yeah, or you could buy a giant Smurf package for $99.
Yeah, and you know, I've heard now, William, I don't know if you could say anything about this, but I've heard of, like, I think we even talked about this, how Zynga has like these kind of backdoor, like, buy, you know, $1,000 in Zynga points at once and get them, you know, 40% off or something like that. Am I making this up? Does anybody remember this?
I've heard rumors of that. I can't confirm it.
I thought that we talked about that.
I think we may have talked about it once before in the show, but I don't know for sure.
Hmm. Well, I would imagine this would go to protect against that sort of thing of like high to average consumer, high risk spending for children, basically. Or yeah, even adults. The, fuck. Ain't nobody need $1,000 in anything.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the another thing that people might, you know, are taking issue to, and this was mentioned in the letter, and this isn't the games doing this, this is actually a convenience thing that Apple does, is when you buy something on the App Store or in-app purchases, it stores your password for a certain amount of time. It's 15 minutes. So, you know, little Timmy could ask his parents for permission to buy $1 worth of Smurf berries. And they're like, okay, little Timmy, well, you're an upstanding little kid and you've done your chores. I'm going to put my password in, and here's your $1 worth of Smurf berries. And Timmy's like, sweet. And then Timmy goes in his room, goes back into the in-app purchase store and buys a $99 pack as many times as he can for 15 minutes. So that works.
Man, that kid gets hit.
I'm about to say, you know, I guess, but this is the equivalent to, like, I don't know, I guess I could have snuck into my parents' room and, you know, stolen
purse,
right? I mean, yeah. I don't know. I don't think kids are inherently more evil than they used to be just because technology has changed.
Dude, kids are fucking evil.
Well, I mean, I'm saying if you have access to children, iPhones, and your mom is letting you buy stuff on a game, you're probably not the type that's good. I mean, it seems like if you're the type to steal thousands of dollars, you're probably not a Smurfberry player. You're probably beating me up, whoever I was back then.
And I mean, this actually is, you know, it's kind of a big debate right now. This, you know, how much of this should be on, you know, the responsibility of game developers, and how much should this just be watching your fucking kid?
Well, yeah, that's true.
So, you know, and you can easily argue both ways. Like, on one hand, it's like, you know, just show some personal responsibility. But on the other hand, developers can prevent this outright from happening. Like, for instance, by not offering a $99 pack.
But, well, at the same time, I feel like, okay, you know, whenever I buy an app, what do I got to do? Bloop, bloop, put in your iTunes password, right? Why? You know, why is that? No one's gonna steal my phone, and if they do, I'll, you know, put it as stolen. You know that, you know, you can do the erase my iPhone and lock my iPhone. I'll freeze my account. I don't see why. I mean, I guess security is important, but my point is that, like, in some ways, it's better to have more lax controls.
Well, I think this addresses not just the issue of your like 10-year-old buying a bunch of Smurf dicks. What I think this is. Another thing this addresses is, like, when you are a consumer and you're buying stuff online, what exactly do you get? And, like, what is sort of the nature of the thing that you get? It's temporal, right? I mean, when the game stops, whatever you bought goes away. And right. that might not be clear.
But this has been going on for you know, years and years. It's not like all of a sudden.
But if you're like housewife, right, and you're playing your Farmville, sometimes you know you may not know that game.
What you think could go that Farmville away, is? You know? Think Farmville is forever? Like nobody actually thinks that. Everybody, no one is like, oh, I thought I had a real farm somewhere in Cyberfunkland.
Okay, that's true, but there is nothing to say. There's no law or anything saying that, you know, whatever game you buy things in can't just take that thing away the next day.
Yeah,
there's no law that says that.
I know,
people don't do that, but there's no law that prevents that.
Yeah, it's like you say this has been going on for years, but it's still a very new thing. Like social games are maybe like a couple years old.
I get it, but
there really isn't any sort of. There's no sort, you know, like I don't know if there should be or not, but there is no legislation. There's no standards.
But there's no need to have. There's no need for laws, okay? If that happened, that company gets sued and goes bankrupt by all the angry customers, right? It's not like, oh, somebody's gonna I've been hoodwinked and all my pennies are gone. What happened? It's not gonna happen because these companies are about making money.
I don't think there should be laws regulating how digital items are
right, because you
know,
don't need
put out to people. But I think what this is doing is it's saying, first of all, it's not saying anything yet. It's like, do we need to inform customers more about what these things are they're buying? That's all this is. There's no law yet. There's no like warning label yet. It's kind of like putting, you know, certain general warning on a pack of cigarettes so people don't smoke them, or that they at least know what they're getting into when they buy them. It's the same thing. I mean, there's no law that says you can't have cigarettes, right? But there certainly is.
I swear to God, it almost feels like it. You can't smoke anywhere. I mean, I'm not a smoker, but goddamn, I cannot believe. Like, smokers are basically like an oppressed minority in this country. I'm so glad I don't smoke because everybody shits on smokers. You can't smoke out. You can't smoke in most bars. You can't smoke in any restaurants. You can't smoke fucking outside of establishments.
That's fine with me. Because if you're a smoker and you got smoke all in my face, that's like. That's, you know, my personal liberty being violated. Do not say
some bullshit. Why does that bother you?
Because there's a direct connection between secondhand smoke and cancer? Are you kidding me?
I do not believe it.
You are an idiot.
No, I'm not saying, look, I'm not saying I don't believe it. My point is, you smell some smoke, somebody walks you smoking, people are like, the fuck? I am dying! I can feel myself! I think you're all right, dude. Okay?
No,
I think maybe people are overreacting.
Like the populace at large is better off if we limit smoking. To,
the populace, you know, would also be better at large if we got rid of, I don't know, fucking free thought. Okay, why aren't we all the fucking same person then? I mean, there's something to be said about like allowing somebody to do something by choice and not always, even if something's maybe not the smartest choice, they can still make it, right?
Sure, and you can still smoke, but you just can't do it around me.
Let me tell you, I do stand up.
You know you can smoke? You know you can smoke? Smurf Village.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, look, I do stand up every other week at this bar here in Oxford, right? And my jokes are just awful, dirty. In fact, just I stole that Cookie Monster joke from last week, Justin Fink. But
I'm flattered.
But my point is that like I can go here in Oxford, Mississippi, right? Very conservative, and I can say whatever the fuck I want, even though most people in this town would not approve of me talking about Cookie Monster masturbating, right? And that's because we allow freedoms, you know, even if they're not popular.
Yes.
Smoking is the same way. We're trying to get rid of smoking because it's not popular.
No.
People would say your bad jokes hurt people. Eventually people
could say that. They could say, well, he is damaging the community by spreading fucking, you know, cursing and ill thought.
So just like any freedom or any right, right? You can't yell fire in a crowded theater.
Well, you can't.
Because that directly harms the people around you. It's the same thing with smoking. You just can't do it. I mean, people are regulating it because, you know.
My point I was trying to make is that smoking does not, secondhand smoke is not near as bad as it has been made out to be by the media.
Mr. Scientist over there.
I don't need no fucking scientist. You know, you wanna like... Let me tell you something. People buy a lot into science. Now, this shit just got real. All right, let me tell you something about science. William Miller,
this is a rib cage all over again. I don't want this conversation.
William Miller, let me ask you this. Is Earth round or flat?
It is round.
And how you know that? Have you flown around the world?
I've flown high enough in the air to see its curvature.
Oh, really?
You can extrapolate. Yeah, and I've flown to Asia, which, you know, you go one direction.
My point is, we take a lot of things for granted, all right? We take a lot of these science, I'm using air quotes, things for granted, all right? My point is, I don't know. I hate you.
I got an idea, Blake. Let's throw out all collective human knowledge just because we can't see empirical evidence of it. That's a great idea, because that'll send us back to the fucking Stone Age. You are a moron. Come on, let's move on. Let's go. All right, I got another article.
I swear to God.
Castlecraft. I mean Minecraft. Damn it. All right, so XBLA, they're getting a Minecraft. We talked about Minecraft on the last show. It's called Fortress Craft. Might as well be Castle Craft. And it's pretty much exactly a clone of Minecraft.
Oh, so it's not the official Minecraft.
No. It's a clone, and it's I forget who's making it, but it's pretty. You know, it's like it's got HD graphics. It's still cubes, but they're rendered HD, right? So it's got like nice lighting and all the water effects and stuff, and it's got grass. It looks real tight. But I wanted to get Blake Buck to weigh in on this.
Was this Fortress Craft?
It's Fortress Craft, yeah. So I wanted to get Blake Buck to weigh in on this because we talked about tape the other podcast, how you can take an intellectual property and repurpose it and sell it, because we talked about Lugaroo and the Lugaroo stuff getting on the App Store and all that. So anyway, Minecraft.
Well, that wasn't just stealing an idea. Like, he just put that shit up on the store.
That's true. But I wanted to have a dialogue here. So Minecraft is actually not an original IP either. I mean, it's an original IP, but the idea is not original. It came from another game called Infiniminer, which was a TIGSOR-spawned project by Zachtronics. I guess a guy named Zach made Infiniminer. It's pretty much the same thing. You got your cubes, you mine them, there's crafting and all that stuff, procedurally generated and all that. And then Minecraft is just a better version of that, and then, you know, this game may be a better version of Minecraft. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, like, where we draw the line and how we draw it. Blake, go.
I'm going to be honest. I was so flustered after that last story. I just left and got another beer, and I just kind of sat back down. So I really don't know what you're talking about right now.
All right. Well, while Blake is crying, Justin Fick, what do you think?
I don't know. Like, I'm at the site here. I don't know how I feel about it. Like, on one hand, like, yeah, it's Minecraft for XBLA, and, you know, it's got kind of like that, you know, sort of like the way Gameloft sort of bootlegs all these popular games so they come out on iPhone. Like, you know, it's safe to say that Minecraft probably wasn't coming out on XBLA, but I don't know. It's like, I don't know how I feel about playing a bootleg.
Well, it's a really pretty bootleg. What if it's like, it's the same game, but, you know, it's a lot better. You got your avatars in there. It supports your Xbox avatars. You can play multiplayer with your friends. It's on the console, for God's sakes, and it's purdy. I mean, I see all these these Minecraft guys taking a shit all over.
Is it basically the same game?
I mean, yeah. If you watch the trailer,
I'm looking at it now. It kind of looks like the same.
It is pretty much exactly the same.
Now, is this on Xbox Live Arcade or Xbox Indie, whatever they call it?
It's Xbox Live Arcade.
This is Live Arcade.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so,
yeah, there's minecarts and there's torches and looks like all the same bricks. Like,
yeah, it's the whole deal.
I don't know. Like on one hand, like, it is, you know, you can't copyright an idea, but Jesus Christ.
Well, there's something to be said that Minecraft's popular. You said it was a game before. Minecraft is based off another game, right? But it seems like this game is kind of building on the popularity of the already existing Minecraft, because nobody knew what that. What was the game before called, you said?
Infiniminer. And Infiniminer was quite a bit different.
That's my point. Minecraft, it's like no one knew what that is. That game is successful because of Minecraft, and the success of it on XBLA will be basically because of Minecraft. So it is basically stealing. Basically.
Basically. So, I mean, how can that be legal, Blake, if it's stealing? I mean, we were talking about the you know, how intellectual property works and how it's kind of a fluid thing.
Right.
You know, you can take a song, you can chop it up, and like, what was the term you used?
Tape?
I know tape, but it's either, it's transcendental or it's derivative. This is not transcendental. This is very obviously derivative.
Transformative.
Not add anything onto
Excuse
Minecraft.
Me, transformative. So, you know, why does this exist? Go.
Because somebody got smart and saw how to make some money and filled a need. People wanted this game on Xbox. Now it's on Xbox. I don't see this is not technical.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing as Gameloft putting, you know, instead of Halo for iPhone, it's this game Nova, which is the same fucking thing.
I mean, I understand that, like, this is a really prevalent thing. I'm just curious as to what allows it to be.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It seems strange that maybe Microsoft hasn't said anything. I mean, have they announced, had any statement about these
Microsoft
rumors?
Probably loves the shit out of it. It's like, yeah, we got Minecraft now. That's literally what they're saying. It's like, sweet, we got Minecraft on our platform.
We got a Minecraft.
Well, I think that the original Minecraft, what is his name? The tape? What is
Notch.
It? Notch. That's it. I think Notch could easily form a legal defense against this game and probably win. And what I'm trying to figure out is why is he not interested in doing that?
Well, who knows? Maybe he is. I mean, this has only been announced for a couple days.
Well, it
seems like days are
plenty of time to respond. And he seems like he has valid claim to argue that his property.
Well, he's you know, if he might even be just researching it first and then, you know, probably. I'm totally speculating, but taking time, talking to lawyers, seeing if he has a case, and, you know, not responding until he knows whether or not he does.
That's probably for the best.
Because, like, whether or not it's legal, like, these guys are sort of violating the, you know, the DBAD license.
Right. Because if you really think about it, like you said earlier, it's not such a, you know, specific concept that no one else could ever. I mean, it is kind of a, you know, you make things out of. It's such a. The gameplay itself is so open ended that, you know, I think you kind of have a case to say, oh, well, our game is different. You know, the similarities are just by circumstance in a way.
Yeah, but
it seems
mechanically identical and visually identical, given some like upgrades to the fidelity. Like, I mean, it has exactly the same. It looks like the same crafting system, the same interaction with the game. The only difference,
user interface.
Right. The only visible difference is you have the avatars in there. The Xbox. Xbox Live avatars.
And let's face it, I saw the screenshot of the avatars running around in the Minecraft world. They look retarded.
They look pretty dumb. Now, one thing I want to know, who is developing this game? Is it like an upstart little nobody company, or is it somebody who's put out a couple XBLA titles?
That's a good question. Keep talking, I'll find out.
Because that would kind of weigh in on, are you trying to capitalize?
It kind of seems like one dude, let me see.
Fortress Craft is an episodic series by Projector Games coming soon to Xbox 360 via the Indie Channel.
All right.
So maybe there's a little more to this than we're seeing. An episodic series. What do you think that means?
They give you new things to craft each week. It's sort of like the same deal. Because don't they, isn't the old Notch tape, didn't he add new stuff to the game all the time?
He just added beds so you can skip night.
Well, that's what I think they're trying to take that and sell that as DLC, you know, if they could, because that'd be a great way to, you know, oh, hey, you want beds? You got to pay 5 boo-boo points or whatever.
Or like texture packs or whatever.
Right.
I'm actually reading here now. It's Xbox Live Indie Games.
Yeah, the Indie Channel. I saw that too.
Ah, that's what I thought. I was about to say, it doesn't sound like XBLA official release, because I don't think Microsoft, I think it's too litigious for Microsoft to go after this, or to, I guess, condone this would be the better word.
Yeah.
But Indie Channel, you can do whatever you want. Anyway.
You can have whatever you like, according to TI.
Patron on Ice. I mean, whatever.
That's right.
Well, we got anything to add to this, or we kind of...
I'm going to play it. I mean, all these people are poo-pooing on the forums of this website.
I'm gonna take a stand and poo-poo on this too. I don't like this.
Now let me tell you guys. Let me tell you a little analogy. Just bear with me. Anybody ever see the movie Airplane?
Yes.
Okay, Airplane, good movie, right? So then it was real successful, and they're like, "Okay, we're the studio. Hey guys, we want you to make an Airplane too." And the guys that made it were like, "Man, but you know, it would just be stupid." Make an Airplane 2 would just be dumb as shit. And they're like, well, too bad. Guess you're not making the movie anymore. These other dudes are making the movie. Bye, bitches. So this other team. And so I was listening to the commentary on Airplane, and none of them have ever watched Airplane 2 because they just like refuse. You know, it's a bastardization of their original idea. But if you think about it, wasn't it kind of their job? I mean, Airplane 2 had to get made, right? Wasn't that kind of their job to do it? Didn't they kind of let down? I mean, okay, financially, it had to exist. So shouldn't you take the responsibility, even though you know it's not going to be as good, and deliver something?
It's a little different because Airplane was technically owned by the studio.
Right.
And the studio is like, well, you guys who made Airplane 1, we're making Airplane 2. Do you guys want to make it? And they're like, no. Or whatever. And then they're like, okay, fine. We're going to get some other fuckheads to make it. This is not the same thing. This is I see a game that's popular, okay, really popular and really well-loved. And here's a platform that it's not on. I'm going to make that same game for this platform. And I am not ripping it off because supposedly this game also ripped off Infiniminer.
Now, my whole point is that Minecraft on XBLA should exist. And it sounds like, you know, Notch and whoever is associated with his team wasn't really filling that void. And so someone else stepped in and did.
Yeah, and someone else swooped in and did it.
I mean, and while you could say, oh, fuck this guy, at the same time, if not for these guys, we probably would have never seen Minecraft on XBLA. So, I mean, you know, I can sort of see both sides of it.
Well, then why not talk to Notch and say, hey, we want to give Minecraft to the people who play Xbox.
Dude, I'm sure he got approached by no less than 24 developers asking to make his game. Hell, they probably already had prototypes running, you know? And he turned them down for some reason. I'm sure that happened.
If he turned them down, then don't put it out. I don't know. Like this kind of seems like, I don't know. It violates the D-Bad license. I'm actually reading these guys their response on their forms to, you know, isn't this a copyright violation of Minecraft? And their responses to it, like, they're dicks. So I don't like this. I'm taking a stand against it.
All right.
I'm picking a side.
If I had to pick a side, I'd probably side with you, Justin Figg. But I'm willing to entertain the idea for now. We'll see how it shakes out in the end. Moving on to our next story, guys. I got to talk about Gran Turismo 5 ships 6.37 million copies. Good God.
That's a lot of cars.
That's a lot of Turismos.
6.37 million? Do that many people play Gran Turismo? Surely some of them bought two by mistake, not realizing. Like, 6.37 million.
Is this the Gran Turismo where you have like the in the car view that's supposed to be realistic,
right?
Like real realistic? I was in GameStop today. I'll get to that in a minute. I was in GameStop today and they had a preview for that game. And it was like, oh, that's so realistic. You can, you know, put it in driver mode or whatever. And you're sitting in the car.
Well, technically, Forza had that before Gran Turismo did, and Project Gotham Racing had it before Forza did. So technically,
I know it's not a first or by any stretch, but what they were saying is like, oh, your eyes move when you hit a corner, and like if a dude rams you from the side, you'll look over to him, and like you don't have any control over that. It's just your dude
That sounds bad.
It sounds awful.
Yeah.
Like if I lose because the game does that to me, I'm gonna be so pissed.
Well, I could
need to roll that into like Saints Row so you can get like driver mode and get road head while you're doing it.
Well, I could see like, if you're taking a corner, you know, kind of shifting this perspective to further down the track, perhaps. But anything like violent, you know, a violent look doesn't seem like a good idea at all.
And it almost made me like sick to watch it. Huh. I mean, it didn't really, but I could see how if I played that for more than 30 minutes, I'd be in trouble. Like it's like shaking, and you know you can barely see the track out of your car. I mean, I'm sure it's pretty realistic, but probably a third of the screen is the actual track. The other two thirds is just car that's taken up. It's like occluding your view and all this. I don't know. It looked a little suspect to me.
So how many copies altogether was it?
Altogether 6.37 million so far. I think how long has it been out? I think it's been out for a little over a month, I believe. Maybe I hadn't been keeping up with Gran Turismo, but you know.
Just for comparison, I wonder how many copies of Red Line have been sold.
Oh, we should phone up Tuncer and ask him.
hang on, I gotta interrupt. TK, he's talking to me on Skype, and he's asking me if there's battle. When's there gonna be battle? When are we gonna have battle? Look, when all of you stop thinking about battle, when all of you stop wanting battle. That is when it will come.
All over your face.
All over you.
Look, and I got an idea later in the show. Not battle, but I got an idea. So just chill out, TK. Okay. One thing I thought was interesting to read was, well, I was looking at the life cycle. Like, it's been, how long has Gran Turismo 5 been in development? I think Gran Turismo 4 came out in like 19, no, it was like 2003? It's been, let me look it up. I think it's had like 7 years or so, Gran Turismo 5 of development. Yeah, it came out in December of 2004. So Gran Turismo 5, though they did have Prologue, which came out, I guess, like last year or whatever. That was kind of like a little preview taste. Gran Turismo 4 came out in 2004. That's almost 7 years. 6-7 years of a development time. They got to get their act together. Who is the dude that heads it up? Old Polyphony? I forget his name. Car. Whatever the word car in Japanese is, that's who.
Car McGillicuddy.
Karuma. That's car in Japanese.
Oh, get the fuck. Why don't you go play Crystal Heart Crystal? All right, get out.
Well, that's a good callback, Blake Buck.
Who's got our next story?
I can take next. Nintendo 3DS day one launch lineup is confirmed for the United States. So,
what we got?
The Nintendo 3DS comes out in North America March 27th, and there are 18 launch titles. Now, there are 3 first-party titles coming out. One of them is a new Pilot Wings. One of them is a submarine game called Steel Diver, which is a submarine simulator with underwater combat.
Oh, that sounds great.
And then it has Nintendogs, Nintendcats. The price point for these games, and likely all games for the 3DS, is $40.
Well, that's basically the same as the DS, though. The DS got to the point where all of its games are $40.
Yep. So. The 3DS will also have 2 other built-in games, so sort of like the way we had PictoChat in our on our DS. The 3DS will have a game called Face Raiders, which lets players shoot at photos of their faces. That's what it says here.
Or their dicks. Take me 1 second to fix that game.
Instead of PictoChat, it was DictoChat. This is going to be Scrote Raiders.
Look, first person, whenever this game comes out, first person to email us a screenshot of their dick getting shot, 10 battle points.
No, please don't do that. I'm just going to put that out there. Please don't do that. We don't want that.
All right, so.
It also comes with a, this actually sounds kind of neat, Meme Maker. So it creates Miis from photos of your dick. The third party lineup. I'm just gonna go through this quickly. Asphalt 3D by Ubisoft, Bust a Move Universe by Square Enix, one called Combat of Giants Dinosaurs 3D, and now Lego Star Wars 3: The Clone Wars.
All right.
There's a Madden NFL Football coming out. Pro Evolution Soccer. Rayman 3D, Ridge Racer 3D, which is also a DS launch title.
That's right.
Samurai Warriors Chronicles by Tecmo, Super Monkey Ball, The Sims 3, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon, Shadow Wars, and actually this one sounds kind of cool. Super Street Fighter 4 is coming out for this on launch day as well.
Huh. That's cool.
And so that is your third-party lineup, likely $40 price point.
There are some gems in there, but there's not a standout, like, gotta-have title, you know? It's like...
Yeah, honestly, nothing is really exciting me about Nintendo right now, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I mean, Street Fighter's cool, and one of the, what was it, Pilot Wings, that could be cool, but there's no Mario. You know, even when the DS came out, they had, what was it, Super Mario DS? You know, that was kind of a remake of the 64.
It was just basically Mario 64.
Yeah, and just that aspect alone of, like, hey, you can play Super Mario 64 on your pocket. Like, that was, at the time, that was a pretty amazing sell. I don't feel like they've got the killer app for the 3DS yet.
The thing is, it wasn't really a killer, because, like, I got the DS for launch, and I got some launch titles, and I got, like, it was a bunch of garbage. Like, I got, you know, the Mario DS. I got, the fuck else did I get? Well, Jesus Christ, I think
Nintendo is being smart because they're giving themselves time to build up steam for the holiday season. And I think, because I'm sure, I think, isn't there a Zelda coming out this holiday for 3DS? Or is that, yeah, the Ocarina of Time, that's coming out surely by this holiday, right?
One would hope. I mean, the thing is, like, that's still not going to be a killer either. I mean, dude,
that's killer for me. Dude!
I mean, it's Ocarina of Time, but, I mean, there kind of has to be something new.
Oh, by the way, Majora's Mask, best Zelda game ever. Oh, my God. If they put Majora's Mask on 3DS, done, son. I will buy eight. I will buy eight of those tapes.
The other thing that's different this time around is, I don't know, Nintendo just doesn't seem to have that momentum anymore. Because, like, with the DS, like, they really had it. Like, it was this exciting new thing. And the Wii was this exciting new thing. And now they're kind of, like, they're kind of stuck in a weird middle.
Yeah.
So, like, on one side, you have your Xbox and your PS3, which are the crazy, awesome, technological fucking behemoths.
Right.
And then on the other side, you have things like the iPhone, which are your super casual handhelds now.
Right.
And
yeah, it's sort of like they've almost lost. It's like they've lost the casual market to the smartphone world.
Yeah, and then they've lost their core audience to
the consoles,
Microsoft and Sony. Yeah, so they're kind of stuck in the middle now, and they don't really belong in either camp.
Well, I think if anybody can pull it off, though, it's Nintendo. They have the strongest IP in the industry. I mean,
they also have the best ability to come up with something totally new.
Right.
And I think that's what they need to do at this point. They need to have some crazy off-the-wall shit again.
I'm sure the 3DS will do pretty well, but what I think is going to make or break Nintendo is going to be their next home console. I think they're either going to knock it out of the park or it's going to totally fall flat. Because they've always done good in the handheld world, but it's been an uphill battle, I think. Even though, well, I don't know. I mean, I guess
yeah, I the think numbers that's what
are
they still, are.
The numbers are there, but I don't think the fan loyalty is.
They've got, I think they dominate handheld, especially in Asia, and they got Pokemans. That's all you need, baby.
We got it, son. 250. Catch them all, bitch.
Dude, they're like 550. Of them heats.
Get them. My last story for you guys is about a good friend of Best Damn Podcast Ever. Billy Mitchell has opened a King of Kong arcade in an Orlando airport. So I guess they already had an airport in Orlando, and now it's sort of been a King of Kong theme. You know, after there was a documentary a few years ago, which you can watch on Netflix free. Well, I guess it's not free, but you could stream it on Netflix. The documentary was called King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters, and it sort of pit these two professional-level Donkey Kong players against one another, Steve Wiebe and Billy Mitchell. And you know what? I don't like how that film portrays gaming hero Billy Mitchell. How dare they? How dare they? The whole time...
For those who haven't seen it, King of Kong portrays Billy Mitchell as a cowardly bitch.
Yeah. Look, just because he's got a secret tape, that don't mean nothing. It just means he's awesome. You remember that at the end of that movie?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Billy he has a secret tape of him. Like, dude, I love him. I'm with you, Blake
Buck.
I love him.
No, look, at one point, now I've watched that documentary a few times. Whenever I get drunk, I like to throw on King of Kong. Billy Mitchell... At one point, he has his phone, right? And he says, you see what it says on my phone? He turns his phone around. It says, never surrender. I mean, this guy is like the ultimate gamer. I mean, he you see what I'm saying? Steve Wiebe has beaten him a few times, but every time, Billy Mitchell has reclaimed his score. Because in his mind, he is the ultimate best. And that's what it takes to play at that level, is to totally dismiss any fear of losing because you know you are great.
That thing it's I like also about, worth noting that Billy Mitchell has a mullet that's, I swear to God, it's gotta be like 4 feet long.
Yeah, the thing I like about Billy Mitchell is
no
like,
exaggeration.
He is the American dream.
Yeah.
All right. He took raw material that he had, which is to say he can play video games.
Uh-huh.
And he likes hot sauce. He grew a mullet and then he goes and kicks life in the balls. I love this guy.
It's a really fascinating documentary, and I love Billy Mitchell to death. And apparently, so they've I'm looking at pictures and video of it. but it's kind of themed. It's, you know how the movie poster kind of had this sort of red and blue and orange kind of theme? They've got his face there and Steve Wiebe's face on it. And actually, one thing that I thought was weird, you can buy all this like Donkey Kong, I guess, memorabilia and stuff. No Donkey Kong game.
What?
Inside.
Yeah, if you watch the video, the like I'm going to walk through the thing video, no Donkey Kong tape anywhere. In fact, no tapes from that era at all. They have like hoops.
Well, it was what they probably did was like some guy who owned this arcade was like, "Hey, we'll theme our arcade around your movie. Is that cool with you guys?" Cool, done. More people know about your movie, maybe more people come to my arcade, done. But I think they should have taken it a step further and at least had a Donkey Kong machine in there. Come on.
Yeah, that seems like a weak pussy move to me.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll get one eventually. So if you're in the Orlando Airport area,
you don't need a classic arcade game section. Just get one machine.
Yeah. Actually, I've been to the Orlando. Man, somebody needs to go there. Take a picture of this tape and let's see it. Go get it. All right, Justin or William Miller, you got any more for us?
Oh yeah. New iPad, March 2nd, all things D. An appropriate venue to launch the new iPad. It's going to be good. High resolution screen, two cameras front and back, probably faster. That's it.
No, you don't think there's going to be any change to the marketplace or design of it from a software level?
No. I mean, it's going to run iOS 4 point whatever. I mean, they're going to probably do another rev of the iOS, but I doubt it's going to be announced with the iPad. It might be.
I've been hearing rumors about a new port.
No, that's on the MacBook Pro. Wait. There's another thing that I've heard
a rumor that port may also be on the iPad.
Now, what is this?
Doubtful.
What is this port?
Now, hang on,
this?
Hang on. I'm gonna get there. I doubt that unless they have a different kind of connector because it's kind of fat. The port I've seen it. It's the Intel's Lightspeed or whatever. They're gonna call it Thunderbolt. Yeah.
Thunderbolt. Are you kidding me? What did they? Nope. Did they take a survey of like? Eighth graders for the name of this.
So anyway, if they have flat Thunderbolt, then it might connect, but I doubt it. The one thing that they have speculated is that it's going to have an SD slot, like an SD card slot, which is a huge departure for Apple. Removable media on one of the iDevices.
I think that's such a good idea because
I would rather see really, really well implemented cloud storage.
That's true.
Than an SD slot.
But,
I think that's
but
like
more than what I'm getting to. Now, I think you're right. I think that is better. But what I think is important is that there's no way to interface anything with an iPad, right? Let's say I got an old 80s computer I like typing on. Well, you're screwed with the iPad. Let's say I've got a MIDI keyboard I want to plug into my thing. Well, there are a couple of things out there, but there's really no... You see what I'm saying? There's no way to get data
in. Not really. Like... What you're missing is the way you get data in and out of the thing is app specific, which is to say it's data specific, right? So if you wanted to hook up your MIDI keyboard, right, mm-hmm. you do that with Wi-Fi through some app that's specifically designed.
You have a Wi-Fi enabled MIDI keyboard. Where do I buy one of these?
Actually, yeah, that would be pretty awesome, but probably doesn't exist. But now that I think about it, but what I'm saying is if once you say okay, you can plug the device in. And you can manage, you know, you could do files and stuff in a generic way. Now, all of a sudden, you have to deal with a file system, which thus far, Apple has managed to avoid by letting the apps manage individual files. And I think that's actually a good thing for these mobile devices.
I think it's good, too, especially since everybody's moving towards not only cloud-based storage, but with things like OnLive, you've got, or even if you think of iDisk in a way, it's sort of like cloud-based file management and cloud-based computing in general.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think, like... saying, okay, you could plug the thing in and edit files and all that stuff like a real computer, that's not a good idea. And I don't think it's something
that Apple's
gonna do.
It's not part of the Apple iOS experience. But I think if they want to be able to go after sort of, I guess that's really not the point of an iPad, though, really.
Exactly. Leave
I think
that.
The point of it was trying to get away from what computers are right now, which
right.
even to, you know, like even Macs are... You know, you sit a total idiot down in front of it. They don't know how to use that fucking thing.
Right.
Yeah, but so, you can sit a total idiot down in front of an iPhone and they can work that
shit. I'm going to click internet button.
So we'll let Android make that mistake and they can fuck it up. And then we'll all see how dumb of an idea it is.
I swear, you two are just total Apple loyalists to your dying breath. I don't get it. You've got Steve Jobs so far up your ass, you're wearing a turtleneck.
He was sitting next to Obama, all right? I saw him in that picture. Dude, he looks like he's going to die. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, he's gotten cancer like 9 times. He's old dude. He's got to go against the record against, what was that guy's name? Christian C., I think. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah, he ran over cancer with his bike.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you had to give us some context for that. But yeah, I think after keynotes, they just wheeled Steve Jobs back into his cryogenic freeze tube.
He's basically Walt Disney at this point.
Yes.
All right, well, now it's time for releases. All right, this week in releases, Rift. Rift Plains of Teleria is an upcoming PC fantasy MMO that connects players with other gamers. Dude, there are enough MMOs out there.
Look.
Who's Rift.
Attention PC MMO developers. Why are you even bothering?
I don't know. But Rift, go get you that tape. Also, we got Rango, the video game for PS3, Wii, DS, and Xbox 360. Rango, the video game, invites players to continue on Rango's journey through a new adventure inspired by the movie.
Now, this is that new movie with Johnny Depp.
Oh, boy.
Is that right?
I have no idea.
Johnny Depp plays a lizard.
Johnny Depp is a lizard. Wait a minute. I might have to get into this.
All right. Call of Duty Black Ops First Strike. It's a map pack featuring new multiplayer maps.
I think this is already out on 360, isn't it? I think it might be.
The game is out.
I think Xbox got the map pack first, and then like now PS3 is getting the map pack.
It says release date March 3rd, so yeah. It doesn't have a platform on this one.
Is this the first DLC for Black Ops?
It is, but like I said, it's already out on Xbox, and it's coming out on May 3rd for PS3.
Gotcha. Also coming up, we got Fight Night Champion.
Ooh.
So their new installment in the EA Sports Boxing series. I actually really enjoy Fight Night.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, Fight Night's good.
I hadn't played this since it like came out on Xbox. Have they been putting one of these out a year, or
no?
Is this? Mm-mm.
I think there might have been one other one since the launch.
Well, it's Fight Night Round 4. That's the newest one, right? Or is there one after that?
I don't know.
The one I played was 3. I think there was a 4, and then I think this is the one after 4.
4 was good. My favorite part of that game is when you get knocked out. Your eyes are going everywhere. And you got to line your eyes up with the sticks. Remember that? It's like this little mini game you play. Like, what a great mini game. You know, it perfectly matches what you're actually trying to do.
I don't remember that because I never got knocked down in that game.
Oh, well, I sucked.
I just turned on the allow dirty shots. And I just had my dude just like headbutt everybody to death.
All right. We got Dawn of War 2. This is a Warhammer 40K. This tape looks pretty good. If you like the original Dawn of War 40K, this one's for you. And then we got Beyond Good and Evil HD.
Boom.
I'm going to get on that on Xbox Live Arcade and the PlayStation Network. So y'all go get that tape.
There you have it. Now it's time for judgment. All right, so who's got a judgment for us this week?
So I'll do a little mini judgment before y'all do the real ones, because God only knows I can't do real judgment.
I play games.
I play a game for like 5 seconds, and then that's it. So William Miller went to GameStop today, and he bought both Dead Tapes.
Mm-hmm.
He bought Dead Tape 1 and Dead Tape 2. He got Dead Tape 1 for only $15, so that's my jank of the week. So anyway, I get back home, right? And I thought, okay, well, I'm gonna play Dead Tape 1 for, you know, an hour or so.
Okay.
So put Dead Tape 1 in. And I'm in my spaceship. Mm-hmm. I'm driving. I crash. Mm-hmm. I'm out of the spaceship. Spooks everywhere. I'm looking around. And so real early in the game, right, all the lights start flickering, and there's this spook. You see the first spook, and it chases you into an elevator.
Right.
Right. So I run into the elevator, but... I'm retarded, so I can't figure out how the elevator works. I get in the elevator, and I'm like, you know, the sticks aren't working. I'm turning in circles or whatever.
Playing the spin game?
Right, and I spend so much time in the damn elevator that I start to notice, like, there's an idol for the spook, and he's just, like, kind of, like, floundering around outside the elevator. Obviously, he can't hurt me because I'd be game over. And I just sit there, and because I'm so bad at this game, like, I notice you know, I noticed this.
Right, that you can't like, lose.
Right, my suspension like, of disbelief.
Look, just like in Bulletstorm where it's like you die, you win.
Right, exactly. So all this tension that I was relishing just drained. Suspension of disbelief broken.
No, but see, you forget. It's only because you blow so bad. You can't fault the game for this.
No, I can't. But it was clearly not engineered for me.
Well, like, I never quite understood this about Dead Tape 1 or 2 is how they really expect to make this really horrifying game when I'm carrying around 50 guns that chop off arms and legs. Like, I got nothing to be scared of.
From what I've seen in the second game, and certainly to the first game to some extent, but I've really seen this in the second game, you have very little ammo through much of Dead Space 2. I would say, from what I've seen, it looks a lot harder. I hadn't played it yet, but my friend was playing, and he was running out of ammo constantly, and that's certainly... Because if you're out of ammo, all you got is stomp. There ain't nothing to do. I mean, at least it's got a foot button, but beyond that, you're boned.
Well, it's like, if you really want to horrify someone, like, a game that horrified me was, like, the original Clock Tower, Super NES.
That game's
where you play this little girl, and your only weapons are to run, to trip on things, and to, like, shit your pants. Those are your only weapons. Like, there's like a run button and you trip on shit, and then there's a shit your pants button.
Talk about like an unforgiving game too.
Yeah.
Like there was tension all the time because you would just die, you know, if you fucked it up. It was great. That game was really good.
So did you get any further? Did you try the second one any?
No, actually, Dave showed up and we played Go. So that interrupted my session. But I do plan on playing it. It was fun. I did like it. It's a haunted house in space.
Justin Fick, what do you got for us?
I got two small judgments. And I think you guys, William Miller said you guys talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but I went and finally got into VVVVVV because it's up on the Mac App Store. And I went and grabbed that shit for $5. And it good. So it's a very, it's an indie game. And it's very lo-fi graphics. Like, it's kind of Atari.
Yeah, I would say Atari.
2600 graphics.
Yeah.
It's not even 8-bit. This is, like, 2-bit. So you play this little man, and the story of the game is you're sort of like the captain of a spaceship. And your spaceship sort of, you know, goes into this anomaly or crashes, and you lose all your crew, and you have to go find them in this giant open world. So it's sort of like a 2D side-view platformer. But instead of jumping, you reverse gravity. And there's just tons of different things they do with that one mechanic. Like, all you do is reverse gravity.
Mm-hmm.
And just the things that they do with it is actually very cool. And it's very checkpoint heavy. So it's kind of super Meat Boy-ish where you die a lot.
Right.
But there's tons of checkpoints. So pretty much between every obstacle, you have a checkpoint. There's a lot of exploration. There's a lot of like tricky jumps that get you these extra secret little pickups, and I don't know. It's a very fun game. It's got a lot of cool personality to it. I don't know, it's got that indie charm. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I think the game is really good. It's kind of like the gameplay reminds me of the Gravity Man level in Mega Man 5. Remember that?
Yeah,
you'd cross these thresholds and then the gravity shifts. It's good. And I think there may be a couple other games that have that mechanic out there floating around on TixSource somewhere, but this one definitely ties it all together in a really succinct and extremely difficult way, and it has a great aesthetic, too. I really like the game.
And it's super cheap, right? How much you say it was?
$5.
Go get you that tape. All right, well, I got nothing this week, so let's just keep it moving and go on to...
I've got a little tiny mini-judgment. Oh, all right. I only bring it up because of one particular aspect that it made me think of you guys. So I went and got on my iPhone, I got a game called Tiny Wings.
Oh, yeah.
Tiny Wings.
And in Tiny Wings, you play a bird and you fly. It's a cool game. It's very charming. It's very simple. But what made me think of you guys is it's one of those one-button games.
Uh-huh.
So you're sort of like a bird that's sort of going on jumps and sliding on hills and shit and catching air. But it made me think of you guys because you press the screen to stop flapping and make yourself heavy. Which, if you remember from Gish, is going D.
Going D.
So
speaking of which, why is that game not on? Why is that not on the App Store? Gish, get on that, y'all.
Oh yeah, man, that game would be great on the App Store. It's open source now. So one of you, you know, D-bags.
Well, then again,
I don't know.
I think it's in that Humble Indie Bundle, actually.
Yeah. It had a lot of. I don't know. There were a lot of buttons to that game. I mean, specifically D, but there were a couple of other ones as well.
But you can make like a stripped down version of that game, probably pretty easily. Maybe. On the iPad, at least, or something.
Maybe. I don't know, but part of that was all of its kind of subtlety and nuance to it. I don't know if you could be able to get that on the touch screen. Usually the things that work best on the touch screen have the most minimal controls possible. Like clicked. Click and get heavy. Done. All right, so what did you say the name of that was again, Fick?
Tiny Wings.
Tiny Wings. Check it out. Miller, you already gave us kind of a jank of the week, so we'll move it along and just go to feedback.
I got a jank of the week. Valentine's Day candy, if you can still find it, it's like fucking 99% off now.
Oh, dude. One time...
I've been eating these dark chocolate M&Ms for fucking the last 3 hours.
Dude, a friend of mine used to work at CVS, right? You know, times are hard. And right after Valentine's Day, he just brought this gigantic box into my house and just dumped it on the floor like this big... He's like, we were just going to throw this shit away. Now it can go in your stomach instead. That was the worst week of my life. Our first email comes from Super Derp. Here is your soundboard. Enjoy it and use it as much as possible. Heat. And he's got a link to it. And I linked to it on last episode of the podcast. You could, if you just go to episode 66, or I'll put a link to it on this episode too. But you can go, you can click different phrases for all of us. Big thumbs up to Super Derp. And oh, I was talking to Pseudo Sushi today. How many points should that be worth? His contribution. How many battle points?
See, we want to be careful about battle point inflation. We start just handing them out. They're not going to be worth
it.
That's nothing.
True, but I think this deserves some
he
points.
He gets 10,000 points per sound.
I think it deserves something.
Well,
yeah.
Pseudo Sushi, I mean, like, suggested that, and TK, they're like married men. They suggested that, like, you know, for like little small stuff, you get like, you know, like 10 to 20. He said maybe for this, like 50. And if you actually complete a battle, 100. What do you guys think about that system?
I don't know. I still think like a battle, getting a battle point.
Oh,
it'd be a big deal.
Oh, just like a single one then.
One of them. Oh.
I like that even more, actually.
Like, if you have even one, that means that you've done something incredible.
Yeah, if you get like, okay, what would be the maximum we could give out to somebody? But then again, I don't know, because at that point...
No. You only get one, ever.
Well, then,
that is all.
At that point, we're only going to hand them out for, like, you know, very, very rarely. And hardly anybody will have battle points.
Yeah. In fact, I don't even like the points. It should just be like a badge that you get. Or like three. You can have at most three of them at one time. You get three stars.
I like pinball scores. Give this man 50 million battle points.
All right. Well, since we can't see.
We'll think about it.
Since we can't come up with anything, no one gets any points ever. Congratulations, Super Derp. You get a nod and a smile from Blake Buck. Our next email comes...
He has 50 million battle points in my heart.
Our next email comes from... Oh, it comes from Beetle. And it says, yo, DDD, it's Beetle. I made a happy birth DDD day card for Fick. Now...
Oh, man.
Justin Fick, I gotta send this to you on iChat or something. Or here, can I... This is a legacy conversation from an old Skype client. Sending messages is not supported. You motherfucker, William Miller! You've ruined it.
I ain't getting that new Skype. I've seen that new Skype. You're, I don't like that new Skype. Uh-uh.
You're like an old man looking at the car. Well, I don't like it. I've had trains long enough. All right.
Yes.
It's got... lots of D's on it. Dicks. A gun.
It looks... Yeah, it looks... So, yeah, it's got a pistol. It's got fire. It's got my head on a cake.
Bleeding penises.
It's got beers. Assault. Yeah, it's also got a large erect penis that looks like it's shooting blood.
And you know what I really like is on the top here, there's fire. But on top of that, there's also like... It's like if there was a missing image icon, there's a bunch of those too.
Yeah, it's like it's got some artifacting in it where it looks like Windows forgot to update the screen or something. And that's like...
I'll put it, if you guys want to look at this, I am not putting it on. I will put a link to it. This is not going on the actual site. I will link to it in the show notes and on the website, though. If you want to see Beatles.
Well met,
card.
Good sir. 600 million battle points.
Yeah, we just give them to everybody. Everyone listening gets a babillion battle points.
This email is from Media Cat. Says, Blake dumb. How can you get the feed wrong twice in a row?
Oh, sort my God.
Make Pseudo Sushi fix all the links on the site and stop being such a
douche. Oh, my God.
You're fat.
Dude, let me sit you guys down, tell you a story. Last week when I posted the show, I think I even mentioned this. I posted the show and I got like a letter. I accidentally something updated wrong, and a few people got the new previous week's show instead of that week's current show, right? I fixed it in less than 12 hours. It wasn't a problem, right? Then this week, I accidentally typed one character in wrong on the post. This didn't even affect the feed at all. It didn't affect the feed, didn't affect the player. All it affected was the link on the actual post itself. And I swear to God, we got another Pseudo Sushi called me twice. People call me dick face on the forums. We get this email, one fucking character wrong. I hate all of you. That ain't a joke. Ain't no laughing. Wayne Miller, read this.
5 million battle points. Where's that?
All right. It says, hey guys, Chaos here. Really awesome you're back, but I've noticed that the downloads are really, really slow. Now, this might be because I live in Europe, but still, us Eurofags deserve high-speed downloads too. So if you guys are interested, I'll mirror your shows on my VPS, free of charge, of course. You guys are too awesome to handle money.
Or have money.
Yeah, right. I'm not sure how much bandwidth you guys will eat, but I could easily spare 500 gigs a month. He gives us a link to the mirror. I'll be monitoring the bandwidth usage for now, but if it doesn't run out of control, I'll just leave it be.
So I talked to Pseudo Sushi about this, and he seems down for it. So I don't know if any other European listeners are having slow downloads. Maybe that's true. I don't know. If you guys are, let us know. But I talked to Pseudo Sushi, and I think we could work something out with this dude.
Yeah, if you Euro guys are having problems downloading the show, you know, let us know, and we'll definitely do this, and I hope it helps. He goes on to say, I'm currently W-getting them from whatever address Pseudo Sushi tweets. If you guys know a better way of me getting the new episodes or the old episodes, send me a reply to this email, blah, blah. So help him out if he asks for the, you know, backlog or something. Also, P.S., Blake Smart.
Ooh, I like this. So, yeah, I talked to Pseudo Sushi today. We'll work something out. And if you guys are having problems downloading from, you know, Euro whatever, let us. That's where you live, Euro whatever. All right, last email comes from, it says it's from D. The subject is D. And all it says is, I want that podcast music. How do I get? I guess he's talking about the little pieces of junk that play at the beginning of and ends of the show.
Yeah, the little stingers we got and shit.
That's just shit I've been working on, music stuff. Like, I go back through my back catalog and throw something in. Eventually, I'm going to get a site up with all my music heats on it. But until then, you know, you're just going to have to wait. I'm going to hide that power.
It's from the Pod Show Pod Safe Music Network.
No, God, no.
Blake, wrote that email to yourself.
No, if I'd written to myself, I'd be like, dear Blake, you are so attractive and handsome. I enjoy all of your works. I'm also a lady and would like to engage in many sexual activities with you. Also, we got a couple voicemails to get to. Our listener line, like I said, it's back up and going. No problems. So if any of you had problems, it's been fixed. And, of course, who calls us up? Not once, but twice this week.
Blake, you lazy fuck. You better call me for bail. Or someone else. I'm starving.
Who ends a phone call with, I'm starving?
Someone who's very hungry.
And then he calls back.
Okay, Blake, I'm sorry for your long voicemail. I'm going to make it short. My family likes hard games, but sometimes they like easy games.
All right, that's it.
That's it. Okay.
Now, see, if you could make all your emails like that or your voicemails, we would play them.
I'm going to reiterate, like, battle, you know, it will be there when all of you forget about it when you least expect it. You're going to get a phone call at your house.
Look, we're just going to show up at your door and beat you. The three of
you
us.
You have to fight us.
Oh, okay. I had this idea I wanted to pitch by you guys. We here at the BDPE, We know everything. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but we're wise beyond our years. And sometimes I know that you guys out there, well, you've got life problems. Life's questions need to be answered, but you know, we don't know the answers. Should I buy this game or that game? Should I buy an Xbox or a PlayStation? Should I? Guess what? Now, here's my idea for the segment. BDPD answers all questions. You email us a question, we pick one, we answer it on the show. This can be any question because we have unlimited knowledge of all things. So if you're down for that, send us a question to feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com. What do you guys think?
I think it's going to end in tears, and that's why it's a phenomenal idea.
I like it.
Yeah, and it could be about games, or it could not be about games. We know everything.
It could be about life.
Send your life questions or whatever to feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com. Well, guys, we got anything else?
I think that does it.
I guess that does it for the best damn podcast ever. What do you guys think about that?
Good show, Blake Buck.
Damn good. And by the way, I was talking to you guys about this before the show.
Oh. But
apparently, our last episode, if you count the 67 best damn podcast evers and the 33 Inside Mac Games podcasts that we did, last week was our 100th podcast.
We've already missed it. All right, look.
Yeah, it's already happened.
If you'd like sending us any emails, it's feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com or call the listener line 845-BATTLE-9. And we are looking for life questions for BDPE if you'd like to send any of those in. And finally, what else? I feel like I'm forgetting some. Oh, check out, if you got any problems with the feed or anything ever, you know, you can go to bestdamnpodcastever.com and get all that heat figured out. All right, well, from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm Wade Miller.
And I'm Justin Fick.
And we'll see you next time.